Once you've found it, let's go ahead and stand together for the reading of God's Word, if you can, please, and if you're physically able to. Joshua chapter 24, we'll stand in respect to the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 24, and we want to read verses 14 down through verse 24. The Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Verse 16, "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay," or "No, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart." Incline your heart. Turn your heart towards, in other words. Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey." Let's pray. Father, please take your word and use it in our hearts this morning to convict us and challenge us and stir us. Help us to be ones who are determined, ones who have made our choice that we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I love this passage of scripture here where you see some people that are determined, that are openly making their choice. We want to serve the Lord. And they're given some instruction by Joshua. You know, they're going to have to, if you're going to follow the Lord God, you've got to forsake false gods. If you're going to follow the Lord God, there's going to be some things in your life that need to change, things that need to be different. But I love their choice. It's a great choice. Some of you heard our family, maybe a few weeks ago, sing the song, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's where it comes from, is this story in the Bible. Listen, I hope that you today will leave here having determined, having chosen, "I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord." And if you've got a family, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm so glad that the Lord is on our side. He's on our side. And we're going to get back here in a little bit to this passage and the fact that we need to choose to be on the Lord's side. But let me share with you some other verses this morning. If you want to turn to the book of Psalms quickly, Psalm chapter 124. Psalm chapter 124. The Lord is on our side. I have no doubt about it. I'll ask you a little bit later, though, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? I'm glad He's on my side. I'm glad I've got Him. With me and God, we make a majority. With Him and God, I don't have to fear the future. With me and God, you know, I don't have to fear what comes into my life. I'm so glad the Lord's with me. I want you to take comfort this morning in knowing that the Lord is on His people's side no matter what the trial is that you're going through. No matter what trial it is, no matter what difficulty you're going through, the Lord God, He cares about you. He's on your side. In the book of Romans, it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm chapter 124 here in verses 1 to 8. Look at this. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth, to the enemies of the people of Israel. It says, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist was able to write and say, listen, if it wasn't for the Lord being on our side, I don't know where we'd be. If it had not been for the Lord God who was on our side when enemies rose up against us, when difficulties came against us, I don't know where we'd be. We'd be overwhelmed right now. We'd have drowned right now. Our ship would have sunk right now. We'd be in trouble. But I'm so glad the Lord was on my side, the psalmist said. Verse 8, he said, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know that the Lord is the best place for you to find your help? He's the best place for you to find your help. He's the best thing for you to meditate upon. He's the best thing for you to learn of. He's the best thing for you to study. He's the best thing for you to get to know. He's the best thing for you to research. He's the best thing for you to live by. He's the best thing for you to place your faith in and your trust in and your confidence in. He's the best. The Lord's on our side. Turn with me back to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6. The book of Psalms, chapter number 11 and verses 5 and 6. Psalm 11 verses 5 and 6. It says there, the Lord trieth the righteous. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain of snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Verse 7. For the Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. You know, the Lord tries the hearts of both the wicked and the righteous. I'm glad that as we seek to live for God, I've got him on my side. He's on the side of the righteous. He's on the side of his people. And that's a blessing to me. Look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you would. 2 Samuel, if you're in the book of Psalms, maybe just keep turning a little bit to the left. You'll find it. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. We want to turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And let's look at verses 8 to 12. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 to 12. The Bible says here, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800. One against 800. But the Bible says whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. It wasn't these men who gained the victory, it was the Lord. It doesn't matter. You could be as strong as I am. You're not going to beat 800 men. You could have all kinds of tactical gear on. 800 men's an awful lot to beat, right? But because the Lord was on his side, that's why they won. That's why they had the victory. It says in verse number 11, after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Who brought the great victory? The Lord. The Lord. It wasn't Eleazar. It wasn't, what's his name there? It wasn't Shammah. It wasn't these men. It was the Lord. the name of those men really isn't all that significant. Really, what's significant is the Lord. Because it's the name of the Lord that gave them the victory. It's the name of the Lord. It's the Lord God that helped them to defeat the enemies of Israel in that day. Listen, I'm glad the Lord was on their side. And I know that the Lord is on my side. He's on my side. Some of you would know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We won't read the story, but in the book of Daniel, the Bible tells us about King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar decided that he was going to build a massive statue of himself. A huge statue of Nebuchadnezzar was constructed. And they got people, you know, that played the instruments and all kinds of things and determined that when the instruments are played, all the people are supposed to bow down to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were misfits in the kingdom, right? They were Jewish people that were there in Babylon. And they knew they weren't supposed to bow down to any other god. They had one God, Jehovah God, the Lord God of Israel. And so the instruments came and they played, and all the people they bowed down to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow. They refused to bow. Oh, this made the king upset. This made the king wroth. This made the king angry. And he determined, listen, he gave them a warning again, and he explained to them again, listen, when the musicians play, you better bow down to that image of me. But when the music played, they stood firm. They refused to kneel. They refused to bow down. They refused to just compromise to the pressure of what was taking place there in the society at that time. You know what happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken by the king, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. The king got angry. The Bible says he had the furnace made seven times hotter. And I don't know how that means, put in more coal, put in more firewood, put in whatever they did, but some throw in some gasoline. Somehow they got that thing just so intense, the heat. The Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were taken and they were bound and thrown into the fiery furnace, that even some of those, guards and servants and so on who took them, that they were overwhelmed by the heat. You ever been around something really hot and it's just being near it somehow, you feel it burning you and singeing you and your eyebrows start to hurt and stuff. Well, I can't imagine what the fiery furnace was like. But even those servants who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them into the fiery furnace, they fell back because of the heat of the fire. The Bible says a little while later when the king looked into the fire, you know what he saw? You know what he heard? Well, he didn't hear Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego screaming. He didn't see them, fall to the ground in that fiery furnace and get burned up. He said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three men into that fiery furnace? Three men that were bound and tied in the fiery furnace? Why is it that now I see four men loose and walking in the fiery furnace and the fourth is like the Son of God? You know why that happened? Because the Lord God was on their side. The Lord God was on their side. And you say, oh, that's a good Cinderella story. No, that's a good Bible story, and it's the truth. The Lord God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were determined, I'm going to stand for God, and I'm not going to bow down to this image of Nebuchadnezzar. And so in their trial, and in that fiery furnace, the Lord God was with them. And the Lord God protected them. You'll never go wrong by pleasing the Lord and seeking to honor Him. The Lord God will prove Himself. Listen, the Lord God is always on the side of His people. He's always on the side of His people. I have no doubt this morning, and we could look through the Bible and we could talk about stories in life today and in my life and in the lives of other people, but I have no doubt that the Lord is on our side. No doubt about it. But my question is this today, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? We know, and isn't it good, the Lord's on our side, but are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? In Exodus chapter 32, God's people, they were without Moses for a time. Now, Moses, remember, he was, ordained, really chosen by God to be a leader amongst the people of Israel. Helped to lead them out of the bondage and slavery in Egypt and led them through the wilderness. But they were without Moses for a little time. They must have been awfully worldly minded because it didn't take long that when the man of God was gone, that they started very openly turning away from their God. The people of Israel started to make their own gods. They were choosing to ignore the memories of how the Lord God had brought them out of Egypt. Somehow they were seemingly forgetting that it was their God that delivered them from the slavery in Egypt. It was their God that brought them across the Red Sea miraculously and then drowned the Egyptian armies behind them. It was the Lord God who brought them out of that because he had always promised them, there's a land that I have for you. There's a land that's been promised. It was promised to Abraham a long time ago. You're going to dwell in that land. But they forgot all that God had done. They started to make their own God. The people were corrupt. They turned their hearts from following after God. They took the gold that the people had and they made an image of gold to worship. The people set up for themselves a graven image. They set up for themselves another God, if you will, in place of the Lord God Jehovah. Well, God knew what was taking place and God sends Moses back down off the mountain where he was and sends him back down to the people. And Moses comes back down out of the people and he sees all the sinfulness and he sees all the foolish living that was taking place and he sees the idolatry and how they made this image. Moses sees their corrupt lifestyle and the wrong way of living and Moses stands up at the gate of the camp. It's like dad coming home. And seeing that, well, dad was gone and maybe the kids thought dad wasn't coming back and the kids were just going wild and rampaging the house and messing up everything and just being a wild bunch of banshee Indians and they were just going crazy. And they were doing all kinds of bad things and they invited people over without asking mom and dad and they were just terrorizing everything. And dad comes in and... Maybe Moses had more grace, I don't know. He was the meekest man that ever lived, so maybe he didn't growl. But Moses comes in, a meek man, the Bible says. And he was hot. Oh, he was angry. What in the world are the people doing while I've been gone? And Moses stands up at the gate of the camp, and he challenges the people. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You're going to choose. Are you on the Lord's side or not? Which side do you want to be on? Because for those that don't want to be on the Lord's side right now, there's going to be some trouble coming. Who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? I want to challenge every person in this room today. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's going to be willing to stand for Christ? Who will be faithful to him? Who will do the Lord's work? Who will serve our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us? Who will follow the word of God? Let him come unto me. Who will heed and obey God's commandments to us? Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who will be true to Christ? Who will be faithful to him? Who will be men of conviction and character? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who will be ladies of grace and propriety? Who will be godly parents? Who will train up their children to serve the Lord or even give their children to the Lord? Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who will set a godly example? Who will determine to have a God-honoring marriage and put Christ first? Who will forgive others even like Christ forgave us? Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who will love even as Christ loved? Who will take up their cross and die daily to self? Who will forsake all and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who will leave their nets to become a fisher of men? Who will live pure and righteous and holy? Who will be a witness for Jesus Christ in this world? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who will be faithful to God's cause and his word? Who will tell those of Christ that have not heard? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who is willing to serve God with all their heart? Let him come unto me. Who wants to live their life for the Lord Jesus and say, I'm not going to let this old world have its hold on me. No, I want to live for Jesus Christ and love him with all of my heart. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that the Lord God is on our side. It's wonderful to know that he's on our side as God's people. He loves us. He cares for us. He's on my side. But I ask you, who is on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Turn back to Joshua chapter 24 and we're going to finish there. This is not a long challenge this morning, but it's an important one. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Look again at Joshua 24. We read a lengthy passage there before at the beginning. Joshua challenging the people. Are you serious? Are you really going to choose to serve the Lord? If you're going to serve the Lord, that means you set aside your false gods and your idols. If you're going to serve the Lord, that means consecration. That means holiness. That means faithfulness to him. That means loving his word and obeying his word and not just doing whatever you want. We ought to follow our Lord, our Savior, our God. Look again at Joshua 24 and verse number 14. Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Yes, be sincere, but hey, let's also do what is the truth and do what is right and do what pleases God, right? Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Joshua is saying, you've got a choice. Remember the mistakes that their fathers had made? Joshua was privileged because Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that went into Canaan land when Moses led them to the brink. He led them to the Jordan River. They sent in spies to see Canaan land and the spies come back and 10 spies come back with a bad report. Oh, there's the land is just, it's wonderful and good, but there's giants in the land and there's enemies in the land and there's people in the land and they were never supposed to worry about that. If it's what God wanted for them, God was going to drive them out. He promised that. It was going to be their land. And still today, God is trying to keep them in that land that he promised to them. I'm glad in the end of this, they're going to win. They're going to win. But lack of faith, lack of obedience, the people refused to enter. Joshua and Caleb, though, were the only two spies that said, it doesn't matter, the giants, we've got God on our side. It doesn't matter the enemies. We've got God on our side. Let's go in. But the people were afraid because 10 people discouraged all the people of Israel. They said, we can't go in. They wandered in the wilderness. A generation of Jews died off during that time. All because of their disobedience to enter into the promised land. To go and seize what God wanted for their lives. And Joshua comes and he's challenging them. Don't make the mistakes of your fathers. Don't serve the gods that some of your fathers had on the other side. Don't serve the gods of some of the enemies that dwell in the land now. But listen, choose to serve the Lord God. Choose to serve the God of Israel. Choose to serve the God who brought you out of Egypt. Choose to serve the God who brought you across the Red Sea. Choose to serve the God who fed you in the wilderness and gave you water out of a rock in the wilderness. Choose to serve that God. He's faithful. He's good. And I ask you, will you choose to serve the Lord? says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," if for some reason it seems evil unto you, "choose you this day whom ye will serve." If you think, you're putting too much pressure on us to serve the Lord, or you're making, hey, if for whatever reason it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, fine, it's your choice. Choose you this day. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's my choice. That's my choice for my family. I'm praying and begging God that internally that's their choice in their heart as well. Will you choose to serve the Lord? Oh, the Lord's on our side, but who's on the Lord's side? You've got to choose. You've got to choose. You must choose whom and what you're going to serve in this life. Choose whom you're going to serve. Are you just going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve a boss at work? Are you going to serve the God of this world, or are you going to serve the God of heaven? Who are you going to serve? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You got to choose what you're going to serve. Is the cause that you're going to live for, is it going to be the cause that God wants to give you? Is it going to be the purpose that God has for your life? Is it going to be that your life might please and honor the Lord, that you do the will of God? Or is what you're going to serve, is it just going to be about self? Is it going to be about making money? Is it about making yourself the biggest success in this world that you can possibly be? Or is it going to be about being a good success in life and pleasing the Lord and honoring the Lord and seeking to live for Him, live for eternity, live for a cause that God gives you, live for the purpose that God gives you? Brother Paez from Venezuela, he told me that one of the things he's learned is that that people have to have a purpose. And he tells the people, you've got to have a purpose for being here in Venezuela. If you don't have a purpose for being here, you might as well leave and try to go to some other country and make a better life for your family. But if you've got a purpose for being here, then stay. And he's got a great church of people that have determined, we've got a purpose for being here. And in the midst of this mess, there's great opportunities. In the midst of all this trouble, there's great opportunity to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they've stayed, because they've got purpose. They've chosen to live for the Lord. They've chosen to live for a cause. They've chosen to live for a purpose that God has given them that's just bigger than themselves. You must choose whom and what you're going to serve in this life. Another thought quickly, it doesn't matter what others do, you must make your choice. It doesn't matter what others do, you must make your choice. It doesn't matter what your daddy did, or what your mommy did, or what your brother does, or what your sister does, or what another Christian does, or it doesn't matter what your pastor does. You've got to choose. You've got to choose to serve the Lord. You must make your choice. Can I say, it doesn't matter what you do. I've made my choice. It doesn't matter what your family does. Our family, we've made our choice. Just like Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you, choose you this day. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Period. I'm thankful for the heritage that I have, and parents and grandparents who love the Lord. And my dad's in heaven. He was killed in a farm accident when I was 8 years old. My grandparents are in heaven. They got to live a long life, but my grandparents love the Lord, serve the Lord. They went to the Bethel Baptist Church in Orillia, Ontario. My mom is still living. My mom's turning 80 on her next birthday. She's now part of North Country Baptist Church in the city of Orillia. I'm thankful for the heritage I have. I want to read to you something that was written. This was written by my grandfather, William Andrew Johnston. And he wrote this on December 3rd, 1999. And it was just after my grandma Johnston passed away. And it was really when he just had about a year left of life himself. But he wrote this as a testimony about his own life. He said this: "I was born into a Christian home, taken to church and Sunday school from a very young age. I knew very young that we were all born sinners and needed to invite the Lord Jesus Christ by faith into our heart in order to be saved. And I was saved at 7 years of age. When I was about 18 years old, we had a visiting pastor come to preach one Sunday night in our church. His subject was about the spies and the promised land. The majority was wrong. He referred to the spies that were sent out to look over the promised land. They all saw the fruitful land, but just two spies had the faith to trust the promises of God. Because the others did not have faith, the result was that they wandered in the wilderness and never got into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua were the only two who had faith to believe the promises. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That message I took into my heart and determined by the grace of God that I would serve the Lord and lead my family to serve the Lord. And he did that. He did that. All of his children are either now in heaven or they're in church today, and they did serve the Lord, and they were all very actively involved. His two sons and one daughter and his grandchildren have served the Lord. He says this: now I'm 88 years of age and I've been married to a dear born again lady for over 62 years and 4 months. We've both lived our lives together, both serving the Lord. Mary served the Lord in her gospel music and in many other ways. I served the Lord teaching Sunday school for over 45 years. 20 years to a boys' Sunday school class and 25 years to adults. And also the many house call visits and soul winning on behalf of the Lord's work. Mary has left me now to be with our Lord, and I hope to meet her and my Lord very soon." You see, he made a choice. He made a choice to serve the Lord. You must choose whom and what you're going to serve. It doesn't matter what others do. You must make your choice. It doesn't matter what you do, but I know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord regardless of what you do. But can I tell you something? I sure would like for you to join us over here on this side. I would sure like for you to join us on this side. This is a good side to be on. A good side to be on. My heart yearns sometimes for families and what's going on in their life, because maybe there's no man in the home or no lady in the home that's made the choice to serve the Lord. And my heart absolutely breaks for what's going to happen. Can I tell you something? We need men and we need ladies and we need couples and we need parents and we need young people. We need old people and young people. We need everybody. Can I be honest? We need you to choose to serve the Lord. What you choose to do, that's up to you. Oh, but can I encourage you to choose to serve the Lord? Can I encourage you to choose to serve the Lord? It's the best life going to be a child of God, to be a Christian, to want to serve the Lord, to want to learn the Word of God, to want to live for Him and serve Him and love Him with all your heart. It's blessed to put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. It's blessed to be faithful to church. It's blessed to want to live by this book and seek to live a life that is pleasing to God. It's a blessed life. It's a good life. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. If the Lord allows me to live in health and the Lord doesn't return, and God gives me strength and health that I end up spending 40 years in Richmond Hill and pastoring the Gospelite Baptist Church and trying to love people and trying to bring people to Christ and trying to encourage people to love the Word of God and serve the Lord. If I spend 40 years of my life doing that and teaching my children to love the Lord and serve the Lord, and nobody ends up serving the Lord but my own family,
it will have been worth it. If 20 years from now, the only people that are still in a church like this, faithfully serving the Lord and wanting to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, are my children, it will have been worth it. But let me tell you something. I'd like you to join us on this side. I'd like you to serve the Lord with all your heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for loving us. I am so glad that you're on my side, that you're on the side of the righteous, that you're on the side of your people. I know you love me. You care for me. You've defended me. You've stood by me. You've helped me. Thank you, Lord, for being on my side. But Lord, give us some people this morning that will determine that they're on the Lord's side. We live in a world where not a lot of people are on the Lord's side. We live in a world that's becoming less and less friendly to any thought of Christianity. Keep Jesus out of things. Keep the Bible out of things. Keep those kind of family values. You be quiet about that. You shut up about that. Who's bullying who? But Lord, it does not matter what side or whose side anybody else in this world is on. I know that you want me to be on your side. And to stand with you. And to stand with where your word stands. And to live according to the Bible. And to seek to live for the Savior Jesus Christ. God, I want to be on your side. Totally on your side. I want there to be no question about whose side I'm on. I choose you. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to follow you. Lord, help the people here this morning to choose to serve the Lord with all their heart. To choose to love the Lord with all their heart. To choose to learn your ways and live according to your ways. It's your choice. Moses came down and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And I say this morning, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.